Accession number 9364, reel 15.
Mr. Bethel, reel 15.
Whilst in barracks, going through for corporal in 1926 or thereabouts, Jean Tunney visited us. He was at that time the heavyweight champion of the world. And he presented us with a cup called the Tunney Cup, which we competed for football. The Royal Marines and the United States Marines had long been associated with one another, and we gave them a bulldog called Private Paget, and they in turn visit us, and they'd put things in their gazette about us, and we would do the same for them. He came to Easterly Parade. He was a very big man, and wearing an overcoat since it was winter, he looked enormous. It was cold and winter time. He made a speech where he said that friendship which started with the Boxer Rebellion in China would never be broken. How true it was, for when the United States Marines waded ashore at Guadalcanal, they were surely relieving the group round our throats where we were in Malta at the time. Just how much the Knights of John's Jerusalem were concerned in this is a mystery. It did start before the Boxer Rebellion by centuries. Malta was relieved at this corner of the chessboard when the Japs were held by the Marines at Guadalcanal. Previously, they had won the Battle of Midway, which was so important at that time, and as my late major used to shout out, keep up the pressure. The pressure was on. It was on us. We were getting throttled, and the Marines landing there surely relieved us, helped us immensely. It was remarkable, really, that this form of prophecy should have taken place on Easterly Parade, where it did. However, that's history now. We play for the Tunney Cup at football each year, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. Whilst on the Revenge, I had a daughter born, Hazel. And she will form a part of this story later as we go to Malta.
How long were you on the Revenge?
2 years. 2 years Revenge. 2 years Queen Elizabeth. About not long on the Centaur. I was a happy ship. I was really happy there. And about 6 months. And then Viney, who was my son Major at the time, who got my date for promotion antedated to my benefit, because he thought I was quite all right. He sent me, and I did signals in Easterly, and was subsequently passed for corporal and went to Malta. Went on the Revenge, funnily enough. The Revenge was peculiar to the Queen Elizabeth. On the Queen Elizabeth, you had what they call a Marines mess deck, kind of a barracks in the ship. On the Revenge, you were messed in casemates with 6-inch guns in them. However, so I went to Malta, and having a few pounds to spare, paid for my wife to go out there on the Esperance Bay. And prior to going, the family considered that Malta was a place of fevers and death. Well, they said this because they wanted to keep my girl home, Hazel, because they were so fond of her. I don't know, but we went, and we were the happiest days of our lives. We went to St Angelo, where I picked up with a friend who ran the rest there, Max Stevens. He was the master miller of the dockyard, used to mill corn in the dockyard. And he advised me where to get a flat. Now, I got a flat in Stradanova, Victoriosa, it's then named after the victory, which was won by the Maltese and the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem. The last bastion to stand was St. Angelo and Victoriosa and possibly Rabat. That was the centre of the island. All the rest had been captured by the Turks and Islam, which it was in those days. We lived in a street called Stradanova. The key to Stradanova was as big as your arm. You never seen anything like it in all your life. This great key, this old kind of semi-Arabic little city, little world, tiny city. Be not a city. You'd call it what you like, a district. And all streets led to the square. When you ran to the square where you could be mobilized quickly to fight. And that was there. There were 10,000 Maltese in the original siege and 1,000 knights. And to me, St. Angelo, I always seemed to be knights coming out the wall. You have felt that the bones were buried there, that it was Arabic, and yet I don't know, it was really a mystery. However, Stradanova, the house I lived in was a great high ceilings because of the heat, I suppose. Some houses had wells in, and right opposite our house was the armory of the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem, which is now, you know, in England, St. John's Ambulance Brigade, wear that badge. And we could look in this window, our window, and see Charlie Chaplin in the cinema where they had this arranged, you know. And it is so significant that basically, I believe we are Saxons, and as such have a heritage which is perfumer. The word Isaac means laughter, and we are the greatest promoters of laughter in the world, in my opinion. All our opera is funny. They won't suffer this tragedy stuff.
Could you tell me what your daily routine was when you were on duty in Malta?
In Malta, yes. We were on the bridge taking on these signals, and of course I wasn't always there. Eventually I was shifted across to Castile, which is a great kind of another place where you felt that the history of the past was overpowering the history of the present. You had that feeling that you were in a semi-sacred, queer environment, which wasn't real. This great square, great building in Valletta, and it was like a madhouse. There was 35,000 people in the fleet in those days. 35,000. And many of the signals we received would be of pulmonary tuberculosis, where there wasn't sufficient air in the ships, I should think. I don't know. But that was the case.
Where did you pass the signal to?
Where?
Did you pass the signal to?
Oh, signals went round the district. You had the Rear Admiral Malta, for instance. He was based there. You had the CNC who came in with all the fleet, and what a fleet, 35,000 men, which is a lot of men compared with today. And It was a huge fleet. And when it came in, it was like a mad ass. The Marine, Corporal Marines up there, which I was a private at the time, but I got made corporal afterwards. you ran the exchange, which is a small box with about 50-100 lines on it. And you controlled the signals as they came in, because you call out to a sailor, one on one, one on four, one on six, one on seven, and you put the plug in and he answered the, took the signal, you see. And then on the bridge, you had a bridge which could semaphore and use light, Morse by light, and all these signals went out to the fleet, and it was really pandemonium. The typewriters would be going knocking out these signals. They'd have what they call a windy disc. A windy disc was distribution which incorporated everyone. So the chap who was the clique there in charge of the section would give it one to the doctor, one to the engineer, one to somebody else, and you get the Salvation Army message going to the engineer, saying, you know, the Salvation Army will take a service so-and-so and so-and-so. And the engineer was saying, I don't want this. On the other hand, it was possible that a signal did have to go to the Salvation Army or whoever it was, to the engineer, because Salvation Army boat was going to be picked up by somebody else. You know, it was come a connection. But anyway, the windy disc was to give everybody this particular signal. And the chap who wanted to be sure he was right would write out, say, 28 copies, which go to everybody. You get a note telling you the Salvation Army was going to occupy the hall, so-and-so and so-and-so. You think, I don't want this. It was funny. However...
How many of you were there on signals?
There were four Marines. We were named M, M1, M2, M3, M4. And we were signalers, of course, in the naval tradition. Sometimes you go and give a message by saying for yourself on the bridge, if you were asked to. And we had this pandemonium, as I can't describe it. You had wireless coming through on Wheatstones, the automatic things which would transmit signals at a very high speed. You would get Joe Cheek, my clique, would be listened to it tapped out on the remote control from Riccardi. He'd say, I'm okay. So you could read it as though you were talking to him. You'd get awful. I went home to my wife one day and she said, why don't you talk to me? She nearly crying, and I said, dear, just give me a minute to not to talk. Because you were constantly on the go speaking. You were saying, one on two, one on three, one on four, yes, seeing these barges, I'd cousin there, yes, so and so and so and so. You'd hear tap, tap, tap on the typewriter, somebody shouting out on the balcony, and the wireless room going flat out. It was like when 35,000 people came in on different battleships, of which there were many, and the great fleet came into the harbour. It was a picture. It lay there, and you think, well, what a great force. And of course, later everything has changed, but that's how it was then. This harbour itself, as I've described to you, sometimes about 35,000 men in this harbour in the olden days. I remember.
Did you work a rota of duty?
Oh, yes. Sometimes you'd be on all flipping night. And I used to... My wife, you know, we used to be in Stratanova in this step street. It all streets, mainly steps there. And with this, as I say, this armoury of the Knights of St John opposite, it's amazing that this all really transpired. Some houses had wells in them where you could actually get drinking water. In the case of the original siege, the first siege, they poisoned the wells, and of course yellow fever. Dad was there, my dad, as a little bugler with his mate Harding. Harding died of fever, and Dad came home, Dad was all right. And later, many years later, he came to Malta when Mother died, and he visited the grave of Harding, his mate, another little bugler that had died there. It was sad, really.
You were telling me about the TB that was prevalent when you were there.
Yes, as a result of bad ventilation, I suppose. Of course, what strikes me is that they can cure TB now. It's amazing. It's over poor clean water, as I say. This will be.
What was it like when you were in Malta?
Beautiful.
I mean, as regards to the TB.
No. But TB mainly from ships. You'd get this pulmonary tuberculosis, one rating to visit Maine. That was the hospital ship, to be sent home, due course, you know. You get this, that's the kind of message you receive, you see. The admiral there, his name was Ernol Plunkett Drax. So you heard, that's a funny name. And
how common was it for Marines to take their wives and families out to Malta?
Not very common. I was very thrifty type of chap. I mean, I had very stiff principles. I tried to keep what I thought was right. And my sweetheart was the only sweetheart I had originally, and my first wife. She played the piano, I played the violin. We were a unit.
What sort of free time were you allowed in Malta?
Oh, plenty, really. It was, you see, the basis of all holidays and all everything depends on weather, I think. And we had gorgeous weather. And the sea was blue and calm, Mediterranean. They go for holidays, don't they? There's a holiday resort now. We used to go to Ricasoli and swim and take some sandwiches with us. I got burnt having a poor skin, I suppose, or a cheap one. I tore off in strips, pieces about 6 inch square of skin. And when I went to the signal bridge, the chief there, he was a gorgeous chap, he just laughed and laughed. I would sit down, you know, and as I sat down, the skin would crack, and it was very painful. And of course, he'd be in fits of laughter. In fact, everybody did. They all thought it was very funny. I thought I was very gallant. I thought I was going to be the only one that didn't burn. I burnt all right.
Were you given any warnings when you went to hot countries about?
Oh, yes. Too late in my case. Funny thing, my wife didn't burn, and I burnt like mad. It's just a case of pigment, I suppose.
How long were you out in Malta?
2 years. About 2 years. We went to the opera house. We did a trip to the opera house there. The opera house is beautiful, and I could also see the opera house that Nelson went to. I saw that. That was Manoel Island, I think I'm right in saying. Manoel Theatre. And in these cases, these theatres are not like they are at home with balconies and dress circles. And they go straight up, boxes all the way. like a great box with sides, and the sides are all boxes. We had a box right near the top. We couldn't afford. We saw Carmen, and it was beautiful. The orchestra was grand, and the great chandeliers hanging down afterwards. That was to be bombed, of course. And watched the sadness of this Latin opera, which is so different to Gilbert and Sullivan, where it was ridicule and fun.
You said you were promoted to corporal.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, you just get a message through, you've been promoted to corporal from so-and-so.
What difference did it make to your duties?
None whatsoever. We had responsibility as signalmen, you know. I played cricket there, played cricket for the Castile and that, and enjoyed it very much. I bought a whole side out once while I was there. And, you know, when I look back, I was clever in many ways, but I didn't know a quarter of what I should know, but I do know now. If I'd known what I know now, then I would have been really good. I know I bowled this whole side, because you've got to be fortunate that way. You're bowling one end and the other one mustn't take a wicket. So you've got to do the whole lot. Like, you've got to be the one to do the whole lot. It's most extraordinary anyway. It was only a destroyer. When I think, I remember Captain Cood saying down at this barracks down here, St Vincent, when I was a little bugler, if you don't pitch the ball where I tell you, I shall take you off. But being me, I thought, I can show the captain how to do it. And of course he took me off. Every time I think of him now, I think how right he was and how wrong I was, and what a silly mug I was to have challenged him. If I'd have done as I was told, he would have possibly been able to do something with me. And no, I had to be funny. I was a great guy, about 6 foot nothing. However...
What happened when your tour of duty in Malta finished?
Well, I went back to St Angelo, and this was interesting. When I got there, they were having the... They had put me on the gangway, what they call corporal of the gangway, where you had to see boats off and that kind of thing. Anybody coming aboard, you inform the people of the matter, you know. And the fleet rifle meeting was on. Well, as I told you, I was a very good shot and very... Well, I was trying to vindicate myself. I wanted to prove I could really shoot. I was good. So I said to the captain, could I... please enter the fleet rifle meeting. Well, there's 35,000 people there, and there's an awful lot of people, and if you're going to vindicate yourself in that mob, you're going to be, you'll either be very good or very lucky or something. However, there was a bit of a dispute, and he said, you were only trying to get a fortnight off with your wife, over a fortnight's leave. I said, no, I'm not, I'm a good shot. Well, they argued the point, and the captain, the son of, was the sergeant major, as we used to call him. He was the sergeant in charge. I think he distrusted me very much. He thought, all you're trying to do is get a week off, a fortnight off. Eventually, they did make me go to Hindapier, another rifle range there, and I did a shoot where Macaulay knew me. Mate, a squad mate of mine, and he said, Bethel can shoot. And so they said, we're going to let you go on one stipulation. Every morning you will ring up from here and tell us you are arrived. Which I thought was a bit mean, because I was dead keen, you know, mad as a coot. Dark as they come, I didn't realise that shooting was of no significance, that you ruled it out of your life and said it's a pest, it's a nuisance. However, I went there, and the first day I went in front of the Mediterranean fleet, and I was the top boy. And the next day, on the Tuesday, I went farther ahead of the Mediterranean Fleet. On the Wednesday, I won the Silver Jewel for the Mediterranean Fleet, and by then, all the intermediate prizes I'd received from Admiral Earl Plunkett Drax. And Admiral Earl Plunkett Drax and myself were on very good terms. And of course, that corporal again, he said, and I was getting this money in and taking that home to my wife, which gave me deep pleasure.
You won prize money?
Oh, quite a lot, yeah. And I was enough for prizes, intermediate prizes, prizes like for snap shooting, prizes for application, prizes for rapid, prizes for this, prizes for snap shooting. And I was coining it, and I won the silver jewel, and I thought, it was a beautiful jewel. My daughter's got it in Canada. And it's a Maltese cross, you know, and beautifully inscribed for the top form, you know. However, when I got back to St. Angelo, of course, no, I didn't win the gold medal because what they call a Grigalic rung up at Ricasoli, and you couldn't see the target for spray. It was really very unfair, but some of them had fired the night before, and weather like we've got now, where the wind and the weather wouldn't make any difference. And I had to fire with spray actually covering the target, and it was hopeless. And it dropped me, you know, into a... I did get in the last eight, you know, I got a bronze medal for being in the last eight. But however, I'd done so well that when I went back to the St. Angelo, the commander sent for me and he said, you know, you're only our only representative from St. Angelo. I said, no, I didn't know. So he said, well, you are. He said, we're very proud of you. Of course, and the Admiral probably said that Corporal Marines should have won the championship. You had a rough deal. But they had to keep this program going. They had racing, tennis, all kinds of things happening, boxing, running, sports. Incidentally, at the Centurion at the sports field at Corradina put on a show for the Maltese, I suppose, a kind of a gala, whereby they had a lot of chaps dressed in rush skirts, and they were dancing around this fire, you see, and they had these rush skirts on, and one of them caught light, and the others rushed to help him, and it was bloody terrible. These men died dancing around the fire. I wasn't present, but I heard of it, and it saddened me, because Jack at his best, it's good fun. He will promote good amusement, and he's definitely happy-go-lucky. And it was sad. That happened anyway. Anyway, I said to the commander, could I... He was so kind, I thought, well, I might as well put the boot in. I said, I'd like to go on with my wife. She's just had a baby, Shirley, my little girl, that's in Canada now. She's not a little girl anymore, of course, she's 50-odd. And I said, would it be possible for me to go on with my wife on the...